This week's malacha is called malabim. Malabim may literally mean to whiten, but it refers to washing. The previous malacha that we did a few years ago, if you recall our last class, was gozes. Gozes is shearing the wool. So that involved getting the wool off the sheep. Now, we picture beautiful wool as white, but sheep aren't always the cleanest of animals, living in the cleanest of environments. So they needed to wash this wool to make sure it was clean, and to make sure it was white. Now, which of those is the Ikar Malacha is the first machloket we're going to see. Either way, either action, washing or whitening, is going to be usher. Just according to one view, one is going to be the malacha b'oraita, and one is going to be a tolada, or an iser derabanan, etc. But, for example, in source one, Rashi says on the word hamalavno from the Mishnah, meaning libun, that what's it talking about? Mechapso b'nahar, washing it in the river. That's the iser. And the Rambam, when he discusses these halachot, says hamalavin ratzer or tishdan or tashani, to wash, to whiten, to be malavin the tzemer pishdan, or pishdan is flax, shani is the scarlet wool there, v'chein kol kayotze behen mimash adarkan lilavin, anything that is normal to do this to, chayev. And then when he says about mechaves, hamechaves begadim haregu tola dat malavin mechayev. On the other hand, just washing something, just soaking it, that's not the ikar malacha, that's the tolada. And what's another example of a tolada? V'hasoche, squeezing, wringing it out. Hasoche, rabeged, achi, otzi, amayim, shavu, aharizim, mechavi, tzachayev. Now, you might say it's necessary to do schita, because you're not going to wash something and just leave it soaking. She'aschita mitzarchi kibosi, kimosha, agasa mitzarchi bishol. Just like stirring something is part of bishol, squeezing it out is part of malavi. But according to the Rambam, the ikar malacha is when you whiten it. Soaking it is not the ikar malacha. According to Rashi, the ikar malacha is when you soak it. Was there a question already?
Yeah, is our main intention to discover whether it's about whitening or washing?
Right now, just to understand the background of the malacha before we discuss the practical part as it relates to us.
I'm just a little bit confused. We say whitening something, we're talking about specifically like dyeing it or what?
No, cleaning it.
Cleaning it.
So is it the act
was
of
white?
Is it the act of wetting it or is it the act of cleaning it? Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, just by whitening it, what do you mean?
Whitening it, as in this your shirt is dirty, is the malacha to make it clean, or is the malacha to wet it? Even if it doesn't get clean. Or to clean it.
So to paint it in some way. To make it look white.
Yeah, is it like if I get like lemon and like rub it on my shirt?
Yeah, so that could be cleaning it even without.
Does that fall out?
For example, let's say I get some dirt on my shirt and I shake it out so that there's no dirt left on my shirt. I've cleaned it. I didn't wet it in any way. I've dry cleaned it, but not, you know, in the term of dry cleaning. But I've cleaned it. Is it soaking or is it the cleaning part? Think about our washing machines. You've used a washing machine? You've done it? Because when I got to Yeshiva, I had it. Okay? So, good. Now, I mean, I've learned how in Yeshiva, but what I've seen on the washing machine is that they have a wash cycle, they have a spin cycle, a rinse cycle. What are all these cycles? If you understand it, could be the washing machine creators went and learned Hilchos Shabbos, looked what they did in the Mishkan and said, aha, have I got the machine for you? What's the machine do? First, it soaks your clothes. Then, it agitates it. It rubs them around. Gets the dirt out that way. And finally, it has to squeeze out the clothes so that you don't have clothes that are sopping wet. That's even before the stage of putting in the dryer. But your washing machine has this spin cycle at the end that gets all the liquid out of your clothes.
So no stage of that is the whitening.
Which stage is the whitening?
Is any stage of that the whitening?
Yeah, the second stage. Okay.
That's just getting the dirt off the rubble, isn't that?
Getting dirt makes things white. Meaning clean.
Is clean and white interchangeable?
Yes.
Okay. So what's Rambam and Rashi arguing about?
Which is the Ikum Alacha, the soaking or the cleaning?
Of the soaking or the cleaning?
Yes. I see. Okay. There's a third possibility. The Rambam mentions, source 3, the Shakshiko. Minal osandal shenet lachik betit betsoa, something that got dirty with mud or excrement. Mutter the Shakshiko b'mayim aval l'skavso mutter, but specifically a minal or sandal, which is a type of material that's not normally washed. So just wetting it a bit and then using that to agitate it is allowed. Sorry, to just agitate it is allowed, but to wet it is not allowed. But I only brought that up without getting into that case right now. We'll see that in a minute to see the different terms. We have the chapso, soaking. We have sofe, squeezing. The shakshiko, rubbing, agitating. Okay? Source 4. Before we go on, we have to realize what are the clothes or what are the materials involved in our discussion. So actually, before we get to source 4, let's just make sure we're clear. When we say cleaning in this halacha, we are not talking about cleaning your dishes. We are not talking about cleaning wood, cleaning metal, cleaning glass, cleaning ceramics. That is not part of the discussion. We're talking about cleaning a material that tends to get washed, clothes that are absorbent. Okay? In source 4, we see that it applies not only to clothes. Shmiras Shabbos Kilchata says, Ein l'nakot shatiach. We don't clean a carpet. Lo b'mevreshet, not with a brush. Lo b'machshir miyuchad l'kach, certainly not with a vacuum cleaner. Avimein, and it will follow yidei chashmal, even if it's not electric. Deciding this is the day you want to clean out the dust from your carpet and you can go and take them and shake them all vigorously so that they're all dust free or dust less. That's not allowed. Look at Lenaro mix up, but just to shake off some dust that you see something visible, that's allowed. Shatiach keheh, hu chadash, and nireka chadash, lo yinaruach mix up. If it's black and therefore you see the dust more easily, and it's new, and so you want to keep it like new, so that one you shouldn't even do. We'll discuss why in a minute. Fine. Now let's go to source 5. The Gemara says, when it comes to clothing, beged, shriyato, zeu kibuso. Soaking it is its kibus, is its malabe. That is the malacha. As in, if you wet the clothes, that is usur. Even if your clothes don't end up completely clean.
Yeah. So, if I go outside while it's raining with my intention
that to wash your clothes?
Yeah, that, like, I could remove.
You're allowed to go outside with the intention of you need to go outside.
Not with your wash off the stain slightly.
Right. That would not be good. Okay. But this issue is actually one of the most common Isurim of Shabbos violated by people who keep halacha. Meaning, there are people driving and cooking and not, you know, not keeping any halacha on Shabbos. Not the discussion. I'm talking about from wonderful Yidden, keep Shabbos, very makbid on blefs and platos and very makbid on kli shaming and kli shlishi and kli chamishim, whatever. The same people might not realize, or in the spur of the moment, forget sometimes. You'll go to a kiddush and somebody will spill something on himself. A little grape juice, a little chillant, and they'll go, quick, put some seltzer on it, put some water on it, and they'll go and they'll dab them, they'll take a wipe, they'll take a little water, a little. Usher! Okay, you're not allowed to wet your clothes in Shabbos. And even if you go, but look, it's just a wet stain now, the stain is still there. No, you're not allowed to wet the clothes in Shabbos.
What happened if it's like a solid, like a.
Good, we can get to that. Excellent. Because there may be a way around that. Yes.
Excellent. Source 6.
The Mishnah Berurah, when he discusses this, limits the materials. He says, Yesh chiluk bein oro lebeged. Skin, leather, is different than other clothing. Why? Deba oro lo mikri kibos achi akibos gamar. Ubegadim kaimalan deshretam amayim zoi kibos san, uchay mishim achaves, lo shna begadim levanim, lo shna tzvu. So he says, first of all, you don't tend to wash leather, right? We don't wash leather. So, orot aren't clean unless you clean them. As opposed to clothing, sometimes you just wet it, and that is cleaning them. And furthermore, v'nei b'ha d'kaimel on the shriyatani kibos san, yesh dor paposkim, yesh omrim d'davka kishyesh ezen davar lichluch ala beged. The shriya ma'avir ala lichluch. That's specifically when something is dirty on the clothes. Meaning, getting something wet isn't necessarily the isser unless there's something dirty that you're trying to wash off. If it's not dirty, just black because you've worn it so many times, and it's not considered kibosh just when you get it a little bit wet, unless you're really washing it, or if you squeeze the water out, if you wring it out. You can't purposely wear clothing because we're afraid you're going to squeeze it out, which is usher. And of course, there's the other shita. This is yesh omrim. Some say it's not usher if it's not dirty. Some say it's usher even if it isn't dirty. So therefore, we are choshesh to that shita, certainly mid the rabbanim, certainly mid the archilam. Okay. So we've discussed material, we've discussed beged versus oro, but what about something disposable? For example, can I wet a napkin? Can I wet a paper towel? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, should be Rav Moshe, that it's allowed lishrok niyar b'mayim nekanech ezeh davar mashlichem liyibud. You can wet a napkin and use it to wipe something up and throw it away when you're done. Pashut she'en lesor. Don't forbid that. Delo shayach malavin b'niyar olik liyibud. Malavin is when I have a beged and I wash it, and when I get rid of the water, I keep the beged. That doesn't happen with a disposable paper towel. V'afim hu niyar shenishar kayam, even if it's a rinse and reuse paper towel. Nami lo malavin mamayim ala mekalkel, does get ruined slowly but surely. K'shorei lamayim lo yachosh al niyar lotzim mayim mimenu. But You shouldn't squeeze the water out because that's the issur of shechita. But in terms of the malavim from wetting it, it's not a problem to wet these paper towels.
So a handkerchief, you wouldn't be in because it's not.
To wet a handkerchief. To wet it. Yeah, but you're allowed to blow your nose in a handkerchief.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Be using that napkin to clean up something.
Yeah.
According to one opinion, isn't that still an issue?
What?
Like, then I'm cleaning, let's say my tablecloth's dirty, and I brush it with a damp.
Yes, that's allowed. But what if you have a plastic tablecloth, and it got sticky in one spot? What if this table right here, made of, I don't know, formica or whatever this is, has a sticky spot, a little grape juice spill here, and now it's sticky. So I can take a wet napkin and wipe it up, and the stickiness will be gone.
If it's a nice tablecloth you're keeping, you can't use a wet napkin. Or you can.
It could be a nice tablecloth that's plastic. I have a reusable plastic tablecloth.
Yeah.
If it's a fabric tablecloth, I agree with you. Okay?
That is not allowed. Okay.
It's not allowed to wet it, correct.
By wetting you mean I wet, I go to the sink.
If it's wet enough that this item is going to make that thing wet, then it's a problem to wet that tablecloth that he was describing.
So does that include putting all those paper towels onto like a stain? Like you spill grape juice on the table?
You can put paper towels down, you have to be careful not to press them to wet it. Because the paper towels down, it's not going to get anything out from the table when you put a paper towel on a tablecloth. It's going to get everything that's above the surface of the table. So it can absorb all those things, and you have to be careful not to press it or squeeze them because you're getting that schita part. But in terms of wiping any spill on your table, you can put a paper towel down or not enough.
Okay.
I'm going to give a little sikkum at the end where we'll cover more of those details. Okay, source 8, the Gemara in Zvachim.
says Amro, Kolkibus Lalitle Kiskus Loshme Kibus. If you don't do Kiskus, it's not Kibus. Well, luckily we have Rashi, source 9. What's Kiskus? Mishav Shev, Sado Ze Al Zek, Derech Mechavis Regalim, Oches Abege, Yoshte Yodav, Umishav Shev. Let's say I want to clean this spot right here. How do I clean this spot right here? I take another piece of material and I rub up against it. I can use the same material, fold it over and rub up against it. So that part is not allowed. And if you rub material like that, you are also violating malabing on Shabbos. Somehow, when you rub two materials together, there is the dirt that is absorbed inside your shirt is coming out. There is dirt, grime, grease inside your fabric when it gets dirty. And you are not allowed to do an action that gets that out. In Rabbi Rubia's book, he had this cute diagram that I figured out what it was talking about. It wasn't so easy. But in this diagram, he showed that sometimes you might get a physical piece of food on your shirt. If you're a schlump, and like me, you know, I get dirty often. So you can eat in the, oh no, a piece of barley here. So I can take off the piece of barley. Now I see there's more stuff here. Now I can't wet this to get out any brown on it, but I see there's still physically on the outside more food. A little bit of chillin' slop is there too. So I can't go like this to get it off, because that is what I just described. But I can do the opposite, meaning turn it around, and now, because it's no longer flat, it's not curved under it, it's coming off, and I can pull it off. Did you understand from my demonstration?
Could scraping be, if I get a knife, is that an issue?
Oh, good, we're going to discuss the knife and spoon in a second. Okay.
So is kiskos rubbing together?
Rubbing together, yes. In fact, the Gemara Shabbos in Source 10 says, "Haminarer talito b'Shabbos, haminarer talito b'Shabbat chayav chata." If you shake out your talis on Shabbos, that is aser midoraita of the iser amalabim, chayav chatat.
Didn't we previously at some point say you could do that with like a gavur or a timbrel, just to wave it around? Fine, it's properly.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say in Source 4. Lechoska. To shake something out, so that if there were dust and dirt embedded in, you know, in the fabric, to shake it out thoroughly is a problem. To just lift it, so that anything that's only on top of it, on the surface, falls off, and even to lightly shake it like that, that would not be a problem.
So that's okay with the talus as well?
Talus as well. All your clothes.
Cool.
Okay? A lot of times you'll see a guy will, put his jacket in the back of the chair, and he'll go and he'll look, oh man, it got all dusty. And he'll go and he'll start shaking it out. Okay, that might be a problem. According to Rabbi Rivian, it's definitely a problem. But according to some, it might be a problem. I think very often those are just superficial on the outside, and therefore you just dust it off with your hand. If it's embedded in that and you have to start shaking it out, I agree with him that it's a problem. Yes?
So like, if you get dust on your pants,
it's on the outside, you can just go like this. But if you have to do more, start getting it out and get the dust clouds and whatever, then it's a problem on Shabbos. I was reading somewhere and he said, oh, what's the solution for this? Having multiple outfits you can wear. Okay. Source 12. Source 11. That was about shaking out your talis. So Rashi comments it. Haminar talito mina afar, shaking it out from the dust. Chayav chatat. Why zel libuna? So that was what I just explained. But Tosfot right there says pirish raf, and it's not talking about. Rabbi Hanan says it's not talking about dust. It's talking about ta, dew. It's wet. Mina tal shalav. The haynu kibas olivam chayav chatat. Hey, mashen avi lumi nukum to Rabbi Yosef and there mina afar ki pirish kuntrus ein yeresh hayashayach libun. So we have a machloket between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel as to whether shaking an item out of dust is an iser deoraita. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Source 13. Haminar talit chadasha. You shake out a new talus. Shchora, it's black. Min ha-tal shalev, he uses the example of dew that Rabbeinu Chananel mentioned. Chayav, shaneir yafala kimo kibos. Shaking off this new item from its dew is like cleaning it. It looks as good as new. This is talking about our nice new clothes, where you wouldn't wear them without shaking them out. Rama, v'choshekein she'asun l'naneget l'nayar beged she'nashar b'mayim. If it got, this is just a bit of dew. What about if it got soaked in water? Or she'ar no lo shamim, or it got soaked in the rain? V'daf b'beged chadash she'makbid alav. Yesh omrin. So that was all Shulchan Aruch and Rama. So if it got very wet, you can't shake it out. We're going to discuss what to do with your clothes from the rain soon, at the end of the shiur. Yesh omrim, says the Shulchan Aruch, the aslan ha'er beged min av vaksha alav, in makbid alav, v'tov l'chosh l'dvarav. Okay? So now he brings, as a yesh omrim, the view of Rashi, who says it's a problem even to shake it out from dust. Avomotu l'asir ha'milzom ha'beg v'shavad, if you have just some threads or lint or feathers that are outside your clothes, you just pull them off. That's not chavos, that's not malapin. Comments the Mishnah Berurah. Betov, ayin beli harab, shekatav, demi din al yeshis erozeh. So, even though I told you that he presents it as a yesh omrim, something to be choshesh, right? Yesh omrim to us in the night, regen minah, makshalav. It's only another shita, it's Rashi, as opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel, and he says v'tov l'chosh l'dvarav, and it's proper to be choshish to Rashi here. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm quoting Eliyahu Rabba, who says this isn't a tov l'chosh l'dvarav. This is midina yesh esir bazeh. Ki harbe rishon son b'shita Rashi. It's a very popular shita. U'mikomakom nira di yesh esmach adeh rishon olet lahakel al yideh einu Yehudi. Let's say you have one suit, and you're concerned about going to shul looking like a shlump, and it indeed got dust on it, the kind of dust that you would have to vigorously shake it out. So we are going to allow, b'tzeruf, a few shitot, allow you to ask a non-Jew to shake it out for you. What is the tzeruf, a few shitot? Because normally do we allow a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos? No. But what do we allow? We allow a non-Jew to do something that may be allowed, because we could paskin like Rabbeinu Chananel, possibly. In addition, we could be paskining like the shitot that if you're not mishakshe, if you're not mekaskes, if you're not mechabes, in terms of water, no shriya of water, that it's not the malacha. So we're going to combine a few of those, in addition to kavod abrios. How embarrassing for me to have to walk around looking like a shlump because my jacket is dirty. I'm going to allow that, to allow an inner Yehudi to shake it out for me. And that is what the Mishnah Berurah indeed says, v'frat di'ika lefameh mishum kvod habriyot v'zeh. And therefore he says, hopefully Zayar, when you come for Shacharis, and you have your hat, and everything else that you're putting in the coat room, that you don't put it in a dirty spot, put it in a clean spot, because or else you're going to come out of shul, and you're going to want to shake off the dust. Shedei shelo yiplu la'aretz, v'yalu avakalem, v'yavo l'chol Shabbos. You're going to come to be l'chol Shabbos, shaking all these things out. And in addition, I already mentioned the carpet in source 4. Here in Shut Minchas Yitzchak, we've seen him before. He made Aliyah from Manchester to Israel, was the head of the Beis Din of the Eid HaFredis. Sadachi Lato, Mutter B'Shabbat Letatei Ritzvah, can I sweep a floor, Mukhsa B'Shatiach, that has a carpet? In Matatea Nikra, carpet sweeper? Carpet sweeper? Shemiv Reshet Shabo Minanam, that his brushes move. So what is the answer? Just like clothes, you can't do this too. You can't do it to carpets either. Now let's discuss other things that land in your clothes. Source 16, the Shulchan Aruch continues later in that same siman. You get some mud on your clothes. If you get something dirty over here, you can go inside your shirt and go like this to get it off, because it doesn't look like Mulabin. Because what did I describe Mulabin? Mulabin I described as contact between two materials. Here, just banging it out from the inside isn't that problem. The dominant little Mulabin regarding Mitzikorin. And some say, so he says you could scrape it with your finger. Some people say that's only when it's wet, not when it's dry. Because dry, it becomes like tofe. Comments to Mishnah Berurah, source 17. Megaro betziporin, vibachutz. The zel on a sharp limon. But the mutter legaro begav sakin, vavshar dafil becholo. He said, on the outside is a problem. It's not a problem because that's not libun, because just using your fingernail isn't washing things. And he says, so too, even if you use a knife, even the tip of the knife, doing it, just scraping it off. Not doing it tightly that you get anything out in the shirt, but scraping off anything that's physically on the surface outside. Now, why did he say some are mefarish that it's a problem when it's yavesh? Because of tochen. So says the Mishnah Berurah, why is the melacha shein tzrich legufa? Normally when I grind something up, I'm grinding it because I want it and I want the small pieces of it. Here, when I'm getting rid of the dirt, yes, it may crumple and fall apart into a thousand smithereens of dust, but I don't want any of them. So it's melacha shein tzrich legufa. Al kopanim reisur mi'ayika lekuli alma. But again, al yidei inu yehudi mukher. Says the Taz, Mishavur recites the Taz, this is specifically when there is physically mud on your clothes. And you scratch there, they're going to start falling. And if it only looks like dirt because it got dirty, it's not really there, just got dirty. And it's dry, you can scratch there to make it clean. But that is the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. I don't agree. He was just trying to tell you how to avoid tochen. There's nothing there, so nothing's going to fall apart, and nothing's going to turn into smithereens. But you're trying to make your clothes nicer. Cleaner. The tzaktikos leisher shumrosh and lichov habikum alavim, and therefore he says, don't do it. The shut amnezer, we came across him as well. We've come across him in his sefer, the Igle Tal. If you're learning Shabbos in the yeshiva now, that sefer is probably going to come up a lot. Igle Tal is Sag Shavarov, and he has a shut as well. So he is discussing one last topic now, and we're going to discuss one more material after that, and I'll give a sikkum of the halacha. But he's discussing, we've already discussed soaking it, agitating it, now you have to get the liquid out. So now it's svita. So you have to understand something about svita. And this could, by the way, be a topic like we have to choose a malacha for next week. We could do the other kind of svita. But there are two kinds of svita. There's a kind of svita that's related to melacha malabim. Part of washing your clothes is wringing them out, squeezing them out. There, do you want the water? No, you're done with the water. It's dirty water. It was in your clothes. It was in your dirty clothes. But there's another kind of svita, like when you want juice. Yeah. You want to squeeze a lemon into your food, into your tea, onto your salad. So some of those might be allowed in Shabbos, and some of those might not be allowed in Shabbos.
Is the first one definitely not?
Which one?
Well, you don't want the water.
No, but it's part of the malacha malabi, as opposed to one that's part of the malacha of dash on your food. So, Shulam Yenezer is discussing this malacha of svita, and he says, "Liashen kozen yachdim lever malacha svita." We have to understand something about the svita. Hinei dara Rambam shehu michlal malacha halimun. The Rambam we saw in source 2 says, Sochei is part of Malabi. Kamo hagasim lechem bishul, just like stirring your pot to make it hotter, is part of bishul. Mashmar midvarav da yidea kibos habeged boleamayim. By getting washed, the clothing absorbs water. Vareya mayim betoch habeged, mu'urah bimalichov shebetoch habeged. Now your clothes has, your clothing has absorbed inside it a mixture of water and dirt. And the water becomes dirty. So when you squeeze the beged, the beged isn't just becoming clean of water. It's not you're getting it dry. It's you're getting it dry and clean. Therefore, svita is part of the malacha malavi. That all fits with the Rambam's definition of svita. The Ramban writes, svita is part of soveya. As in, you are doing it to whiten the clothing. So even if you squeeze clean water, this is his nafkamina. Even if you were to squeeze out clean water, let's say I take a clean rag, clean art item, and I wet it, and I squeeze it out. So according to the Rambam, this is part of Libon, well, it's totally clean. This was brand new. All I did was add some water. What did I do wrong? But according to the Ramban, this is not part of Libon. It's not part of getting dirty water out. It's already part of Malavin anyway. So therefore, you have to understand that it's usher to remove that water either way. What important nafkamina also can we discuss is what if the liquid isn't clean in the first place? For example, source 19. Nearly the chalik the Taz says nearly the chalik to be yain lavan mechaves kamo ma'ayim. Aval yain adom eno mechaves adar abba ma'adim abeged. If I wet an article of clothing with red wine, so nobody can tell me that by wetting it red wine, I'm cleaning it. Is that a problem? And the Taz says no. It is not a problem to do that. Why is it important? Meaning, why do I bring all these sources here? Why do I put them on the sheet? Why do I cite them? Because that could come up la'alacha. Where does that come up la'alacha? Let's say somebody's sick and needs a compress on their head, like a wet rag to cool them off. So how can you wet this rag? So you could wet this rag by dipping it in non-clear liquid. If the person is called a sheish bo sakana, there's sakana, nothing to discuss. You can wet it with clear liquid too. But here, just somebody's a little sick, he needs to stay in bed. So that's called a chol sheish bo sakana. So you can wet it with colored liquid. It might be a problem to color a liquid in order to wet it. Okay, because that's malacha tzia, which is also an option we could do for next time, which malacha we're doing next time. But if you made yourself a cup of tea and there's some liquid left and it's red now, so you can use it to color this baguette. Therefore, you're clearly not doing it for malabim, and then it could be the compress on the head. Finally, regarding plastic, for example, if you're wearing a plastic raincoat, a slicker, a poncho, so says Shir Shabbos Kol Chatam, Me'il Geshem Asrei Vavim Asubei Gumi, if it's made of cloth or material, then you can shake it off lightly. But Me'il Geshem, if it's made of plastic, you can shake out something plastic as hard as you want on Shabbos from liquid. Again, we said originally that the whole malacha malavim is only the absorbent materials, not on wood, not on ceramics. So it says the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chata, it's also not on plastic. And it's a beautiful explanation. I put the footnote here too.
So you can fully wipe it off.
You can fully shake it off.
Why not wiping it?
What are you wiping it with?
It's not absorbent.
What are you wiping it with?
Whatever you want.
That thing is absorbent. The thing you're wiping with.
So a napkin.
A napkin. So a napkin, then throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's fine. Correct. But the footnote, Rav Shlomo Zalman, he cites Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, has given the explanation that Einena wrote, our eyes see, she plastic mutzak in a balea cloud. It's not balea at all. At all. So you're not going to be shaking it out of anything absorbed. You're only shaking out what's on the surface. Masha'inkin, or a kopanim sap lachud, this is like a. But if you're talking about any material, any cloth, it's going to be somewhat absorbed in that cloth when you shake it out. So, just to review some halachot practically. There are three methods of malabim. There's the soaking, the shriya, the scrubbing, and the squeezing, the spita. When liquid saturates in a begad, it loosens anything that's in the begad, any soil or stains that are absorbed. This soaking is usur if you use a clear liquid, even if the stain remains afterwards. So all those times that you put salt or water on your shirt and you go, I couldn't get it out, nonetheless, that was still usur. This includes soaking, wetting, spraying, sprinkling, all that is usur.
Sprinkling water or like salt?
Sprinkling water on your shirt.
But is the salt do anything?
I don't know what a salt is.
I thought like salt can salt be used as a remover?
Well then we get a problem. If it works, then there's a problem. If it doesn't work, then it's not a problem, and then why do it? Okay. Paper gets ruined, so it's not malabe. So, for example, you could wet your paper towel to cool off your forehead. You could wet a sticky spot on the table and wipe it up with your paper towel. Again, being careful not to squeeze. But we don't have water balloon fights on Shabbos. We don't have water gun fights on Shabbos. We don't soak a dirty spot. Yes?
Why can we use a towel to wash our hands?
Good. We're going to discuss that in a minute. 1 minute. Derech lichluf. We're going to get to that in 1 second. Rubbing or scrubbing, even when dry, is malavin. Because the friction is forcing out the dirt. So to brush, to use your hand or the garment itself is all usur. But squeezing, pressing, wringing a cloth that has clear soapy water, that's the third part. If it forces out the absorbed dirt or absorbed moisture, that's undesirable. So you can't wash dishes on Shabbos with a sponge or a washcloth. Okay, that also comes up a lot. There are special Shabbos sponges that are made from this like synthetic material that doesn't absorb anything. You've seen those? It's like a looks like a little hairnet thing.
It's like a synthetic
plastic thing. Yeah. No, it's just maybe it's like a scraper, but it's just like these plastic balls of yarn, but they're plastic. They're not yarn.
Yeah.
And so that is like a Shabbos sponge. Derech lichluch. To answer Zach's last question, derech lichluch is allowed, as in you can use a rag to soak up a spill that's on your linoleum or tile floor. Not on your carpet, because carpet, again, different problem. But don't use... why is that okay? Because they're getting dirty. So we're not concerned that you're cleaning the rag by getting it wet now. Specifically, you're supposed to use a rag, not clothes. Why? Because we're concerned that clothes, you may decide, oh man, I really wanted to wear those clothes the Shabbos, and then you might come to squeeze it out or clean it. So we're concerned about that. So specifically use a rag. In terms of the slita, again, because you're concerned about stuff coming out, if it's a large spill and a small rag, don't just use one of them, because it's going to become saturated, and when you move it, it's going to start to come out. But if it's a small spill, you can use a rag, or you can use 20 rags to clean up the one spill, and then they won't get too saturated. But that's why it's a problem also to use a mop on Shabbos. Mops are meant for spita. You wet them and then you squeeze them out. You wring them out to get the liquid out of the mop. But derech lichluch is what allows you to wipe your hands on a towel on Shabbos. Because I didn't think at the time. My hands are dirty and wet. And I go to this towel and you can't tell me I'm cleaning this towel. I'm getting this towel all dirty with my dirty, smelly, sticking hands. Yes?
So you can put, if there's a spill on the floor, you can...
Floor is made of, like this? Tile?
What floor?
No, if it's carpet, it's already...
Yeah, if it's tile...
Yeah, okay, yeah, go on.
You can put towels on top, as long as you don't squeeze it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's considered dirty.
Not a bit dumb, but like, if my hands are really dirty, can I rub the dirt out?
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
And as for Shabbos, shouldn't there like inshore ideally be paper towels than proper towels when you wash your hands?
What do you need a proper towel? Why do you need both? One
because I thought we shouldn't wear a beged.
But it's a towel. It's meant for that, and it's dirt, and you're getting it dirty, and it's not that you're going to wring it out.
Okay.
That part's fine. Your hair. I figured that would come up. You're allowed to wet your hair on Shabbos. Remember, we discussed already about brushing your hair at the end of goze is combing your hair. So you're allowed to wet your hair and gently pat down, and you can wash your hands well. That's not a problem. When we say no liquid, so brushing settled dust from a garment is malabi even when there's no liquid. It's allowed from hair, and that's only hair attached to your head. If you have a wife who wears a sheitel, so she is not allowed to brush out, shake it out from dust, because that's considered not hair anymore. It's now considered a garment, even if it's made of human hair. Any large pieces that are on your clothing, it's not a problem to get off. This includes crumbs, lint, dandruff, hair. They don't become embedded, they're just on it. Let's say your child spills Cheerios on your carpet. So Cheerios are on the carpet, they're not in the carpet. Until somebody steps on them, then the crumbs are in the carpet. Or if they're on the carpet, you can sweep them up. They're large pieces, they're not in the carpet. You're allowed to get them up.
You can shake. In that case,
you can shake them off, yes. I wouldn't shake out the carpet to get, again, the dust inside.
You can
lift it up to get the Cheerios off and clean them up that way. That's if it's a rug. But if it's a carpet that's, you know, attached to the ground, that's not an option. Yes?
Isn't there an issue of taking the bad for the good with some of these things?
There's no mixture here. It's just on top of the carpet.
Okay.
I described the folding the children that I came across already. You can scrape off the outside that's sticking out with a spoon, but again, don't dig in, and don't use a wet cloth or napkin. Sometimes, when you get clothing, there's a piece of tape on it, like the way it's folded, and it's new, so chachila do these before Shabbos, but b'dieved, that's not anything. You can remove the piece of sellotape that's on your clothes, or a label or a sticker. When it snows or rain outside, when you come home, you can't shake off the snow or the rain. But you can brush off what's on the outside or shake it.
Can you dab it in?
Dabbing it in is already a problem. I mean, if you get it absorbed.
It's already wet, yeah. But you're just accelerating the process.
I wouldn't do it. But you, a plastic raincoat, we just saw that it can be shaken even vigorously. Don't heat up your wet clothes by going to stand near a radiator. Okay, you are allowed to stand in the sun. Like, let's say there's a quick shower and the sun comes out and you want to stand there to dry off, that's allowed. In the sun. But not in your radiator, heater, anything. There's an issue in terms of laundry on Shabbos. We don't do laundry on Shabbos, that's what Malapin is. So there's also a Maris Ayin factor. Maris Ayin means somebody seeing you might see something is permissible. Might assume something is permissible based on what you did. So, for example, let's say I come out of the rain. Okay, it was pouring, I came home, Parshas Noach, it was a nice marble, and I walk in the house, and now I'm soaked. So what do I want to do? I have a nice clothing line for my laundry out there. I'll go hang my wet clothes there. What's the problem? So the problem is that if a person sees you hanging clothes, he's going to think you could do laundry on Shabbos. And therein lies a problem. So you are not allowed to go hang your wet clothes there because of Maris Ayin. When we say something is Asur Maris Ayin, that means it's Asur even in private. Maris Ayin, we say, is Asur b'chadre chadara. That means even if it's a laundry room inside your house where there's nobody else around, it would still be Asur because of Maris Ayin. I know it's going to come, you might ask me a second, can you leave laundry hanging from before Shabbos? The answer is yes. Because a person who's sees them there, even if he only sees them on Shabbos, he's not going to assume, based on clothes hanging there all Shabbos, that you can do laundry on Shabbos, because it's a normal thing when clothes are there. But the prohibition, therefore, to phrase it right, so it becomes clear, you need two factors to make it usher. It has to be truly wet, and hung in the usual manner. So if it's something that's merely damp, you can hang it. Or if it's very wet, then you can hang it in the closet, because you don't normally hang something very wet in your closet. Or you can hang it on the back of a chair, on a doorknob. That's not the usual manner.
But you can wash right before Shabbos.
Yeah, you can do laundry right before Shabbos.
I thought it had to be dry before Shabbos.
If you want to use it on Shabbos.
Okay.
Great. Let's just clarify that. If you have clothing that is wet going into Shabbos, we have a rule that something that's usher going into Shabbos is usher all Shabbos long. So if it's wet going into Shabbos, that therein lies the problem. There may be room for something that you know will dry on Shabbos early into Shabbos, so therefore you have in mind that it's going to be good for you, but otherwise, wet clothes are muksa. That is true of the wet clothes that you're wearing as well. If you get caught in the rain, your wet clothes are muksa. Huh? Do I just take them off? No. Cover your ears. But the wet clothes that are muksa are once you take them off. You can keep wearing your wet clothes, and they can...
So you can't wear
them. You don't have to take them off. You can keep wearing them. But once you remove them, if you have other clothes to wear, they do become muksa. If you don't have other clothes to wear and you need to put them back on, that's allowed too. Like you're at your friend's house for Shabbos, you only have one outfit, it got wet, so you take it off for your Shabbos afternoon net, it's still wet when you wake up, you can put it back on. But otherwise, once you remove the wet clothes, they're muksa. But you don't have to remove the wet clothes, you're allowed to keep wearing them. When there are gozer on wet clothing, there were not gozer on the wet clothing you are wearing. Finally, one last thing that's related to laundry is regarding folding. Specifically, where does it come on most? What do we like to fold on Shabbos morning? Our tallis. So, we tend to be matir if you don't fold it on your original folds. If you fold it in the original folds, you're very careful to do it just the right way, so that folding garments on the original folds is part of doing laundry, which is part of the melacha melame, or at least looks like it. So therefore we don't do that. But if you're not careful about the fold you do on Shabbos, we are matir you to fold your tallis after Shabbos morning davening. Though the Shmir Shabbos Kilchata is a very great language, it's a very great, it's a praiseworthy minhag. It's meshuvah. The minhag that immediately after Havdalah you fold your tallis. In the segula world, people who try to do things for segula, so there's like a segula, if you fold your tallis then right away, it's a segula for shalom bayis. So I don't know the source of that, I don't know, I've heard it many times, but I've also heard many great gadol stories that if you want a segula for shalom bayis, better than that is instead of folding your tallis, then you go home and help your wife clean up the house, wash the dishes, etc. That would be an even better segula for shalom bayis. So on that note, may we keep Shabbos, have shalom bayis, etc. Have a good Shabbos.